Aloha e nā kua, aloha e nā kupuna, aloha e nā kanaka apau, aloha kākou. Welcome everyone, glad to be here this morning. I threw this talk together for the Hawaii Ag Conference a couple weeks ago and I never changed it, so I might kind of blow through the beginning of the presentation and then talk about some things off slide to make it a little more relevant to this session. But really what the talk and story is about, you know, is trying to bring a whole new food into local food systems. And I really appreciated in Carol's talk the definition. I never realized social or food justice had the culturally relevant component in the definition of food justice. And so we are working with a culturally relevant food crop for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders, and that is breadfruit or ulu in Hawaii. And so, without further ado, for those of you who aren't familiar with breadfruit, it is a large, long-lived perennial tree. They can get quite big. I've seen some in Hawaii, 120 feet tall, you know, big 4-foot diameter trunks. But what is truly unique about breadfruit is it's actually a starchy staple. And one of the few staple foods on the planet that grows on a long-lived perennial tree. And so we really think breadfruit has a significant opportunity to transform agriculture in the global tropics and the way we kind of do agriculture in the tropics. So this is breadfruit, you know, anywhere between 2 and 20 pounds of fruit. A single tree, on average in commercial settings, you're looking at like 300 pounds, but we have trees here in the state that easily produce, you know, 1,500 pounds of fruit per year. And this has been a staple throughout Polynesia. There's two varieties and a whole subset of crossbreeds that are all considered breadfruit. Dr. Diane Ragone of the Breadfruit Institute spent about 20 years traveling around the Pacific. She's documented about 300 varieties of breadfruit, and she's amassed the world collection of breadfruit here in Hawaii on the island of Maui, where they have about 184, I think, global cultivars of breadfruit in a common garden. This is just a fresh picture from a workshop we did a few weeks ago looking at variety identification. We did slip in a meringue and a bread nut in there for those of you who know Artocarpus. But breadfruit has been utilized for millennia in the Pacific, and especially as you move into the Western Pacific and get on the older islands, the atolls, where you couldn't really do a lot of intensive cropping of kalo and sweet potato, breadfruit was the major staple of a lot of these islands. Favorite way to cook it, you throw it right in the fire, about 20 minutes, the skin just flakes off and it's delicious. A lot of times often breadfruit was then pounded into poi, or sometimes cooked in coconut milk and eaten. But a major issue with breadfruit is it is a fruit. Despite the fact that it's starchy and often used in place of potatoes, it's seasonal, like any fruit. And so especially these islands that it was their main staple had to deal with that seasonality. And so fermentation was a key aspect of traditional breadfruit usage. They would cook it, pound it into poi, and dig these big pits in the ground, which were then lined with banana leaves. And then the ulu poi would all go in there, and they cover it up, and it can stay in that fermented state for multiple years, actually. And they would open it up when needed, and then often recook it and eat it. So here in Hawaii, breadfruit also played a key role. We'll kind of skip over this. But we've done a lot of ethnography, and this is a very rudimentary, just kind of starting to conceptualize some of the things. But based on our ethnographic research, you know, the green areas are areas of the darker the green, the more breadfruit was in the area, with the stars representing really key, massive breadfruit groves that existed in ancient Hawaii. And I did a lot of work on one of those for one of my dissertation chapters. So the Kaʻuluʻulu is the Kona breadfruit belt, so just south of us in Kailua Kona. There was a massive breadfruit belt that you can kind of see depicted in the middle of this 1827 drawing by Lauren Thurston, one of the missionary's daughters. And we've done a bunch of yield trials and historical reconstruction, some GIS modeling, to kind of re-depict the location of this breadfruit belt on the landscape. And so quickly the results of that is that we found that on about 4,000 hectares of land, the Hawaiians are producing about 20,000 metric tons of breadfruit a year, which was enough to feed about 30,000 people, a 3,000 calorie diet, solely on breadfruit, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if that's your thing. It's not many people's thing. But just kind of illustrates some of the huge potential that breadfruit has in Hawaii. And again, we can kind of pass over this little bit. This also not so important. This talks about the political economy. All right. So a little bit more relevant to this session, you know, is what are we doing with breadfruit today? The crop majorly fell out of favor, and, you know, over the past 150 years, I would say you saw a pretty steady decline in the amount of trees in the state, consumption in the state. But through efforts of the Global Breadfruit Institute, there's been a big educational push, and now we're starting to see a revival in breadfruit in Hawaii. So we just finished some surveys with commercial tree growers in the state, and so the bins on the y-axis there are how long ago their trees were planted. And so you can see trees that were planted more than 20 years ago, only, you know, less than 300 trees. And that's really just seeing exponential growth in the amount of trees planted. And that looks to continue into the future. So that last bin is these trees that they anticipate planting in the next 5 years. A lot of them are doing it out of faith and love for the crop, because we preach it and it sounds great. But the market is being established as these trees are coming online, and that is a lot of what we're trying to do now. So we're doing a lot of science to support the growers. But really around the consumption has been a huge educational effort. A lot of people, I mean, how many people knew what breadfruit was in this room? Oh, it's pretty good. Did you guys know more than, like, just Captain Bly? Or, like, you know, that was the extent. a lot of people, you know, don't know breadfruit, may have never tried it. I gave a talk on breadfruit up at Stanford a couple years ago, and I won't mention his name, but a world-famous food economist comes up to me after, and he's like, breadfruit will never work. It'll never work. It's not going to go. Well, like, why? You know, it's horrible. I mean, it just doesn't taste good. I'm like, well, how did you have it prepared? He's like, well, I never had it, but, you know, it's like, what? And it did. It had this really bad stigma, you know, and especially in the Caribbean area where it was taken specifically as a food to feed the slave trade, it got a very bad, you know, stigma. People don't know what to do with it. When you take it to a restaurant or a store, you know, they're like, okay, what do we do? So a lot of what we've been doing is around education. The fresh fruit, very hard to deal with. It ripens very quickly, over-ripens even faster. But obviously there's a lot of things you can do with it today to make it into a kind of shelf-stable product. This is the first breadfruit endeavor that's done really well in Hawaii. So if you guys go to Whole Foods, this was Whole Foods Agricultural Product of the Year 3 years ago. It's a gluten-free, vegan, all-local pie made of breadfruit and local honey and mac nuts and other stuff. So John Cadman, Maui Breadfruit Company, kind of was the first one to get a commercial product out there and do good with it. But in the last bit, we've really kind of taken this and tried to run with it. And so first maybe we'll talk about the education. So this is the main product we've ended up working out. So we helped form the Hawaii Ulu Producers Cooperative, so a cooperative organization to collectively market, distribute, process breadfruit. as well as conduct that outreach and education and get the sales out there. So the core product they're doing is very simple: steam, core it, freeze it. Now it's shelf stable and you can sell it year round. And with that, we've been really, we just worked with a bunch of chefs and the Ulu Producers Co-op to do a photo shoot of breadfruit dishes that they do. So here is a lovely smattering of breadfruit hummus, baby breadfruit pickles. It's another good thing to mention is that the breadfruit can be eaten at all stages of maturity. So at a baby fruit, you can eat it like a vegetable, mature fruit like a potato, overripe fruit, it starts to get sweet. You can do desserts and whatnot with it. So a breadfruit bisque, some pickled breadfruit salads, whole range of things. And building this portfolio, we can then take it out to other chefs and be like, hey, look, there's really wonderful, delicious things you do with Ulu. This is exceptionally good. Chocolate Ulu truffles. Delicious. So without going into too much details, I guess the co-op has been really successful, I'd say, on a couple fronts. You know, one is reaching the target markets, which is really the common community in Hawaii. We definitely sell a lot to the high-end restaurants and hotels because they can afford the price point. But we use that to then drive the ability to sell reduced cost to schools, hospitals, stores, and things like that. So we are now in four charter schools in the state, and Kaiser Hospital just picked up the product. So they're going to be our first hospital to start serving the Ulu as well. This was all done through major partnerships. So the Hawaii Food Basket was a really key partner in getting us processing space, distribution early on. And the final thing is the co-op model has been surprisingly successful. And to the point where we're now getting backyard growers contributing. You know, a person will have 2-3 trees in their backyard, but you know what? That's 3,000 pounds of ulu they bring in and 3,000 extra dollars that goes into their pocket. And again, then the food starts to get out into the community and build those systems. So lots more delicious, delicious things. And Carol is standing, so I'm going to stop. Yeah.
Thank you,
Peter. Yep. All right. So we actually have right now a statewide phenology project going. Breadfruit is notoriously sensitive to climate, and working with some farmers in the South Pacific, they actually use breadfruit as an annual calendar indicator. So based on what breadfruit's doing, that tells them when it's time to plant their kalo, you know, when it's time to plant their sweet potato. Here in Hawaii, you know, you can be in Kona, and then you drive 2 miles up the road to Kealia, and the seasonality shifts a month already. And then you have the varietal differences as well. So short answer is the peak season is end of summer. Peak season for all varieties, all locations, tends to be August, September, October. But we often see a second peak in December, January, and sometimes we see a third smaller peak in kind of March, April. So there is a lot of diversity, and we have some ongoing projects to get a better handle on that.